be in the city of Austin, but more importantly, wherever you may be in your spiritual journey, our prayer is that you again will be able to find the space that you need this morning to get to know God, to know His love for you, and especially if you don't have a relationship with Him, our desire is that throughout the service this morning that you will know intimately His love for you and your desire to have a relationship with Him. So welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining us here for Sunday service. This past month, we've been going through a series called Barriers and Blind Spots. As you know, 2020 has been such a unique, for many of us, a very painful year, a year that is unlike any other. Obviously, with the pandemic, that has really changed the course of our history. But even from there, we see just the various hurts and pains, the various injustices that have really cropped up into the scene, into our lives. And now, even as we're about 6 weeks away from the election, and just seeing just the division and the divisiveness that has really separated communities from one another, that has really separated one human being from another human being. We started off the series by just looking at just the different barriers and the different blind spots that even for those of us who are followers of Christ have hurt us and have harmed us in our relationship with one another. One of the barriers we looked at is, saying that whatever situation is happening, it is not my problem. That's someone else's fault, that is someone else's issue, and I'm just going to live my life and not be invested and not be involved, even though God calls us to make it our problem and to be involved in love and in compassion and in kindness towards those who are hurting, those who are in need. Last week, we looked at the barrier and blind spot of hijacking the hurt. Like I said, this year, we've just recognized that the different conflicts and discouragements and sadness that we are going through. But then to hear someone going through their hurts and pains and then to just hijack it and to make it our own and to say, well, that's not a big deal, or to say, well, that is my issue too, and then you just make it your narrative and then you just completely ignore what's going on in that person's life, and we just hijack the person's story. We just hijack the person's hurt. And then we just end up talking about ourselves rather than ministering and caring and serving the person who is in need. This morning, we're going to be looking at the barrier and the blind spot on looking down on people. And this was made evident in just the last couple of days. On September 18th, 2 days ago, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, passed away. And regardless of your political views, regardless of your political values, I would have thought that the passing and the death of one of our Supreme Court justices would just allow us a moment to just give her respect and give her honor and to pray for her family who had just lost a loved one. But yet, not surprisingly, but yet saddens me, is just the utter division, the utter separation that came out of this respect. That even for those who are Christians who couldn't even pay respect to her legacy and then readily been attacked by other Christians. There is this person in ministry that I respect highly who has done great things for God's kingdom in social media. All he did was just say, rest in peace, Judge Ginsburg. And then almost immediately, all these other people just responded to that and saying, why are you respecting her? She doesn't need the honor. She doesn't need that respect. See, you're just a baby killer. See, you're just a socialist. And you read that and you just ask yourself, all he was doing was paying respect for one of the judges who has led our country. It's really similar to a few years ago when Judge Antonin Scalia, who was himself part of the Supreme Court, and when he passed away, when people paid respect to him, you had other people on the other side of the political spectrum saying, oh, why? Why are you respecting him? He, you know, he's gone now. We can have someone else who can replace him. And it just saddens me, especially in the church community, in the Christian community, where we can't even have the space to pay respect and honor to someone who died and passed away. And then all of a sudden, we're just being attacked, being ridiculed, being looked down on. Yes, my friends, we are living in that kind of world that is being shown so vividly and so outwardly, that the utter darkness and hatred that we have. We can't even respect one another just because we're paying respect to someone else. How it's so easy for us to just jump in and say nasty things, putting down people so easily. And you know what the irony is of all this, is that Judge Scalia and Judge Ginsburg were actually the best of friends. Even though politically, they're so diametrically opposite. And yet, in all their interviews, they would care for each other, they would love each other, they would joke together, they would actually say, yes, Judge Ginsburg, Judge Scalia, I would say is one of my closest friends, one of my dearest friends. That they were the ones who have shown us what it means to love on each other, despite different views, different values, different ways of looking at life. Yet they were able, as one human being to another, be able to care for each other and love each other, instead of coming in and looking down on someone, putting down someone. Church, we can't be like that. We cannot have that barrier and that blind spot of looking down on people, because that is not what God has called us to be. Instead, he has called us to look up on people. And that is my message this morning. And because of what transpired really in these last couple of days, I've actually changed the passage. I know on the screen it's going to say Acts 10, but I'm actually going to be looking at Luke chapter 18 this morning. So if you have your Bibles, please open to Luke 18, starting in verse 9. And it's this, almost this sense that we can just look down on people because that is our right. Because we think we know what that other person's situation and circumstances and environment is all about, and we can actually speak to it and say, well, it is your fault. Well, you are wrong. Well, you don't know what you're talking about. Well, I know what situation you're in, so I can look down on you. But that is not how Jesus lived his life. That is not the message of the gospel. Jesus never looked down. If he looked down on us, he would never have died for us. But despite our sin, despite our rebellion, despite our choosing to separate ourselves from a relationship with God, Jesus saw us with love and compassion. He looked up on us and said, I am going to die for you to show you what love really looks like. And church, that is our mission and our calling, to not look down, but instead to look up on people. Luke chapter 18, starting in verse 9. Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Verse 9 starts off by saying, The parable is about people who believe that they are righteous, who have justified themselves to be righteous so that they can treat others with contempt. This has nothing to do with whether you are right in a given situation, but it's speaking actually to the heart of the person. It's about a person who has justified to themselves that they are right, that they are righteous, that they are perfect, that they know the answers to every single situation, every single environment, every single circumstance. And because of them justifying themselves, they feel like they have the right to then look down on people and to treat them with contempt. This parable is about that kind of a person. And church, this parable is for you and me. For us who have justified to ourselves that we are righteous, that we are always correct, that we know all the right things. And because of that justification, we believe we have the right to tell each other, to tell other people, and to look down on one another with contempt and to say, see, you're wrong and I'm right, and I am going to tell you how you should think and how you should live. This parable is for us. Verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. There are some similarities between the Pharisee and the tax collector. First of all, there were two men. They both went up to the temple, and both went up to the temple to pray to God. So the story starts off with so many ways saying that there are these two people who have actually some similarities. They were men. They both went up to the temple. And the reason why they went up to the temple is to pray to God. But from there, everything is different. Pay attention to the differences between the Pharisee and the tax collector, because it shows us the heart of the person who justifies himself or herself to be righteous and then demands that they can speak into the lives of others and looking down on them and treating them with contempt. And then see the opposite of that kind of a life. Verse 11. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers. Look at this. In the midst of his prayer, he's looking around. Or even like this tax collector. God, I am not like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift his eyes to heaven. But he beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. There are three highlights or three differences that I want to speak this morning. Differences between this Pharisee and this tax collector. And from these differences, hopefully we get a sense of what life looks like when we choose to justify ourselves, when we choose to look down on people, and why God despises that. Why God does not want us to live in that way. But in fact, our calling and mission is not to look down, but to look up on people. First thing, the Pharisee. He compares himself to other people. He compares himself to other men, to extortioners, the unjust, the adulterers. And in the midst of his prayer, you can see he's looking around and he's like, oh, even this guy here, even this tax collector. You see, for those of us who like to look down on people, who like to tell people that they're always wrong, who like to treat others with contempt, we like to compare ourselves to others. Why? It's because it builds us up. It justifies us. If we compare ourselves to one another and we want to be righteous and we think we are righteous, we will compare. And we will say, look at me. I know what's right in this situation, and you know what? You're wrong. And you're wrong. And you're incorrect. How you view this life is bad. It's evil. It's sinful. But I'm going to tell you how to look, what to think. I am going to tell you what to say. I am going to convince you that you see me as right. You see, the person who looks down on others will always compare himself or herself with others. That's how they justify themselves. That's how they look down on people. It's sad. When a person is wanting to pay respect to someone who's deceased, someone who just died, and then others will come out and choosing to compare themselves to that person, will look down on them, would look down on him and say, who are you? You are wrong. Why would you pay respect to someone who does this and does this and does that? You're wrong. You should never, ever pay honor to someone who's like that. Then you look down on people. Growing up in the Philippines, and I believe this is fairly common in many of the Asian countries, is there are many families, many households who would have maids and servants. And I did. I grew up and I would have a nanny and we would have maids that would clean up our homes and make our meals, and we would have drivers who would take us from one place to another. And growing up as a boy, I didn't ask questions. I just thought that was life. But obviously, looking back, you come to realize that it was the rich people who were able to afford paying others to take care of them. But more specifically, in the Philippines, it was really about the Chinese community and the Filipino community. Because it's the Chinese families who tend to be rich, who tend to have the money. But I still remember, even as a young boy, how my relatives, how Chinese people would treat those that are caring for them and serving them. How my relatives would treat the Filipinos and would berate them and say horrible things to them. And they would say things like, that is why you're a maid, because you can't even go to school. You're dumb. You're worthless. And that's why you're here, and you need me. If I don't pay you, if you're not here serving me, you're just out there begging. And I remember, even as a young boy, it bothered me. But I didn't say anything. I didn't question anything. I just hear the older folks, older generation, how they talk, how they despise, how they look down on the Filipino community. And I just bought into it. I bought into it. When they say, you know, Art, when you grow up, make sure you don't marry someone who's Filipino. I'm like, okay. And then now I look back and I recognize the utter sin and evil in that. And how one community, thinking that they are righteous, thinking that they have the power, thinking that they have the authority, would easily say words of condemnation that will destroy, that will bring destruction in the lives of others. Because the Chinese community would compare themselves to the Filipino community and would say, see, we're better than you. And because we're better than you, we can say these things to you. And you can't say anything back because we control you. We have authority over you. And it's true. It's true what we say about you. When in fact it's not. How far from the truth is that? So I grew up comparing myself to the Filipino community and saying, well, I'm glad I'm not like them. I'm glad that, you know, I have a better life. I'm glad that I have a better future. And then God just ministers to me and rebukes me and corrects me and says, no, Art, no. Don't be like this Pharisee who looks at other people and says, well, you're this and you're that. So I get to look down on you because you are the evil one and I'm not. But many times, we are the ones who are evil. But look at the tax collector. He does not compare himself to other people. He actually compares himself to God. And when he compares himself to God, he recognizes that he is not God. He is a sinner. And because he's a sinner, he is not perfect, and he is not righteous, and there's nothing that he could do to justify to himself that he is better than anyone else. And church, that is what we need to do. We should never compare ourselves to one another to justify ourselves that we're better, that I am better than you. But instead, when we justify ourselves, when I justify myself to the God of the heavens, to the Lord of Lords, I realize that I am not perfect. I realize that I'm actually broken, that I'm actually evil, that I'm actually a sinner. And how, as a sinner, can I even say that I am better than anyone else? I can't. I can't. That's the whole point. So the first difference we need to recognize here is that we cannot compare ourselves to one another, but compare yourself to God. And when you do, you will realize that we're not perfect. We don't know all the answers. In fact, we're so far away from that. But instead, we are broken people, sinful people, hurt people. But God is the perfect God. He is the one who knows all things, and he is the one by his love that draws us to him. That's the first difference. Second difference, look at the position in which the Pharisee takes versus the position in which the tax collector takes. In verse 11, it says the Pharisee standing by himself. But where is he standing? He is standing by himself in front of God. You see, the person who treats others with contempt, the person who looks down on people, who justifies to himself that he is right, that he knows the answers, that everything about the world he fully understands and he knows what to say, will stand before God and say, well, I deserve to be here. God, I deserve to be in front of you. I deserve to be in this righteous space because, you know what? I'm righteous. I know it. I know how to understand the world. And I know when I look at other circumstances and situations that's sin, that's wrong, that's evil. Because I'm righteous, I know it. So God, thank you. Thank you that you allow me to be in this space where I can be in front of you. And it's just me, because I'm the only one. Not these extortioners, not these adulterers, not the unjust. Not even this tax collector deserves to be in this space. I'm the only one. I'm the only one that can be in front of you, God. Because I know it. I'm right. But look at the tax collector. Where was his position? He was not standing right before the Lord, justifying to himself that he deserves to be there. He's actually standing far off, which says a lot again about the Pharisee when he's praying to God. It's not like the tax collector was next to him. He was standing so far away that his eyes have to look as far away as well, Oh, that tax collector over there, over there. Yeah. Yeah, he's useless. You see, the tax collector was not even in that space. He was standing far off. And his position was he could not even lift his eyes to heaven. That's how broken he saw his life. That is how humble he saw his life. The tax collector somehow believed that there was nothing about him that deserves to look down on others. He could not even look up to God because of his brokenness, because of his sin. And he humbly, from far away, comes before the Lord and says, God, I know who I am. I know I am not perfect. I know I don't have the answers. I know that I don't have a say in every single thing that happens in life. I am a sinner, and I am in need of you. You see the difference between these two positions? The one who comes before the Lord and says, yeah, I know it all. I know it theologically. I know it doctrinally. I know it applicationally. I know it. I've had the experience. I have the answers. And then the outward ramification of such a life is you look down on people. You beat people to death. You take advantage of people. You manipulate people. You treat people with contempt. But note the sort of calling that God has for us instead. It's going to be like the tax collector. It's not demanding that we deserve to be in front of the Lord in his perfect righteousness, in his perfect holiness. When we actually understand who God is and we understand who we really are, broken and sinful and rebellious against him, we actually will be like the tax collector. We will actually be so far off, far away from God because we think we don't deserve to be in God's presence. We don't believe that we have a right to be in front of the Lord demanding things from him. We recognize our sinfulness. So we're far away, we're hidden, we're not seen. Our eyes are just on the ground, we're weeping and we're crying and we're not making a big deal of anything about our lives because we know who we truly are. We are sinners who are in need of the Lord. So with our head down, with our eyes not looking to the heavens, when we are choosing to be far away from God because we don't deserve to be in his presence, we just say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Be merciful to me, a sinner. And when we live a life like that in humility, where we choose not to have the arrows pointing to us, where we choose not to be recognized or acknowledged, where we choose not to look down on people with contempt, but recognizing even our imperfection and our unrighteousness, we look at others and we're like, hey, I'm just in the same boat like you. And we're sailing together. And we're trying to figure out who this God is in our lives. That's humility. That's humility. So my friends, when we are angry at someone in the church community right now because they have slighted us or they have said something mean to us or they might have put us down, what is our response? Are we being like this Pharisee who says, you know what, I'm right. And God, you tell me that I'm right because I know I'm right. And I'm going to look down at this person because he or she says something bad or mean to me. So because of that, I am going to go against them. Because you know why, God? Because I am in front of you and you are justifying me and I have a right to treat them with contempt. But God says, no, Art, no. That is not the kind of calling I have for you. Art, realize that you are broken as well. Recognize that you have hurt other people as well. Recognize that you have said very horrible things to others. You have looked down on people because of the color of their skin. You have looked down on people because of their social economic status. You have looked down on people because you think you're all that because you have a college degree, because you have a seminary degree, and because these other people don't. No, Art, you're not perfect. You're not righteous. Be humble like this tax collector who recognizes who he truly is and is just desiring to be reconciled back to God. That's the second difference. And then the third and final difference. The Pharisee, the person who would choose to look down on others, will always brag about what they do. That those of us who always choose to look down on others and treat others with contempt, we justify ourselves based on what we have done, what we have accomplished. Verse 12, before the Lord of Lords, the Pharisee says, God, I fast twice a week, and I give tithes of all that I have. How true is that in our lives, right? That to justify ourselves that we are right and you are wrong, I am going to list out to you the various things that I have done to show you that I am right. So for the Pharisee, he dares to go to God and says, look what have I done. Look what I have done for you, God. Look, I fasted. I've given. I've done this. I've done that. Whereas the Pharisee, whereas those who look down on people, choose to highlight what they have done, it's the tax collector. And it's those who are humble that choose to recognize who they are. Don't ever confuse what you have accomplished to who you are. You could have 1,000 patents under your name. Without a relationship with God, you are nothing. You can have all of these amazing degrees, all these amazing letters after your name, and people call you using different titles. If you are not a follower of Christ, if you choose to disobey his mission and calling for your life, you are nobody. You see, what is more important to the Lord is not for us to claim what we have done, but it's to claim who we are. Because we recognize, once again, that we are sinners. And there's nothing in this world that we have done, we have accomplished, we have said, we have acted on that should define for us that we are righteous compared to everyone else. So you see the differences here between the Pharisee and the tax collector. And really, the difference between what God has called us to be and how God called us to live, the tax collector, and not the kind of life that he doesn't call us to live, which is the Pharisee. So church, let me ask you, as well as I'm asking myself, really, which life do I tend to live? The Pharisee or the tax collector? And I know, because this parable is really written for me, and it's really written for all of us who are listening this morning. This parable is written for us. We are the Pharisees. We are the ones who look down on people. That has become our barrier and blind spot. And I'll let you know right now, we're 6 weeks away from this election. And I'm already getting bombarded from the right and from the left. Getting bombarded. But what is the right thing to do as a Christian? This is the right way. This is the right way as a Christ follower to vote. So you're going to vote dot, 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 or vote this, 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 this. And if you vote this way, you are definitely a real follower of Christ. It's happening. And we're looking at each other. We're like, oh, you're from the right? Oh, yeah? You're conservative? Well, you're evil. You're wrong. You're not following God. Oh, you're from the left? Oh, you're so liberal. You're changing the course of this country. So you're dissonant. You're not a Christian. It's happening already. And the saddest thing is it's happening in the Christian community. We are becoming Pharisees. We are treating one another with contempt. And church, we need to come before our God in humility and seek for forgiveness. We have to seek for forgiveness because God has not called you to be a Republican. God has not called you to be a Democrat. If that's what you think your calling in life is, and that's the only thing that comes and spews out of your mouth, what does that say about how you're living your life for Jesus? What does that say about how I'm living my life for Christ? We are called to look up on people and to love them, even and especially those who are very different from us in the way we think, in the way we understand life, in the way we live, in the way we choose to make decisions, in the sort of value systems we use, especially those who are different from us. We love on them. We look up on them. We don't look down. We don't treat them with contempt. And God says to his church, verse 14, the one who was a sinner, the one who understood who he truly was, the one who approached me in humility, he is justified. He is the kind of follower. He is the kind of servant that I've desired for everyone. In my church, God is calling us to be humble. God is calling us to be merciful. God is calling us to recognize who we really are. We are sinners. We don't have the answers. And we should stop justifying ourselves always to be righteous. We're not. Let us seek for forgiveness from the Lord. If you have hated someone, if you have rejected someone because they have a different view than you, and you have said sinful words to them, and you have looked down on them, and you have said, I am never going to talk to this person, seek their forgiveness right now. As a follower of Christ, you are called to have a reconciling relationship with this fellow believer. If you have done that, you seek out their forgiveness this week. And let's truly be humble people. In a year, really a year in our lifetime where it's shaken us up to the core, we need to be humble. We need to have soft hearts. We need to be compassionate. We need to have listening ears. Please listen to others who may have a different voice. It's okay. You're not going to die. But you might learn something. You don't have to accept everything that the person is saying, but your decision to just listen and extend a hand of grace speaks louder than what you should say to them. ACC, let's continue to recognize our barriers and blind spots. Let's continue to recognize that people's problems should be our problems. We are called to meet the needs of those who are in need. We are called not to hijack people's hurts. Don't make it about you. Don't be selfish. Don't be self-centered. That the hurts of others are their hurts, and we need to make it our problem to meet and minister to them. And then the barrier of looking down on people. That is not our mission. That is not our purpose. And that is not God's will. Let's look up on them because God looks up on us. And that is why he gave up his son, because he loved us that much that he gave up his son Jesus to die on the cross for you and me. Remember the gospel. Remember the good news of Jesus. Remember how he lived and what he taught, and live it out. And the barrier of looking down on people will be wiped away in our lives forever. Let's pray. In a moment, we're going to have an opportunity to respond in song. But even now, let's just spend this time praying to the Lord. Holy Spirit, just continue to manifest your presence in us right now, bringing conviction, bringing exhortation. Because all of us are guilty of looking down on people, judging them, condemning them, saying that we are righteous, that I am righteous and you are not, that I am holy and you are not. But from the parable this morning, we learn that we are guilty. We are sinful. We are the ones who are actually unholy and unrighteous. And God, you're calling us to change our ways, to change our lives, to change the words that we say against each other, to change the action and behavior that we do against each other. And recognizing that we're living in a time and in a place right now where division is so rampant. But I pray, Father, that just like the tax collector, we come before you knowing who we are and coming before you and saying, God, forgive me. Forgive me for the ways I have hurt others. Forgive me for the ways I've treated others with contempt. Forgive me for the ways I have looked down on people. Give me your eyes to see and love those that you love. And to care for them, to be generous to them, to be listeners to them, to have a heart of compassion to them. Help me to be merciful in the ways you are merciful. And I pray that in the next few days, in the next few weeks, that the very people that we have hurt, the very people that we have spoke down on, the very words that we have just hated people on, that tomorrow, today, then this week, we would seek for their forgiveness. Help us to be a people that would seek after reconciliation. Help us to be the kind of people that will go to those that we have hurt and ask them to forgive us and to say, I'm sorry, and to say that what I have done is not right in your eyes and not right in God's eyes, and to seek for forgiveness. Let us be a church that is selfless. Let us be a church that is for others. Let us be a church that is always for you and for your mission, God. So even now as we sing this song, may we be in the very right place to be able to respond in humility and in truth. In your name we pray. Amen.